A warmer, friendly, hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eustace, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and we got a great podcast for you. I hate saying that we've got a little bit of a shorter podcast than normal, but I feel like I've been saying it the last few days, and that means that games are getting postponed and canceled, so let's hope, let's pray that things wind up getting a little bit better on that front. But with that said, we are going to be having Jason Radowitz does a great job over there with covers. He does great work with the Game Day MLB when it comes to his MLB work. Guy works with, like, literally six different networks, giving out picks and analysis on darn near every sport. Does a terrific job. He's going to be joining me in the second segment. We're going to have a little bit of a wider topic that we're going to be talking about, just gauging how to place bets with regards to timing with all of these cancellations, with guys being ruled out at the last minute due to COVID-19, injuries, what have you. We're also going to be taking a look at just what to expect in general when it comes to college basketball the rest of the season, if anything winds up standing out to him on Tuesday. So this is actually going to be a little bit more, I guess you could call it all-encompassing with regards to that interview, because I do think that it's very important, because the struggles that college basketball is facing with all these games being postponed and canceled slash the games that are going on, a lot of players being ruled out for them, it really does hold true for a lot of sports. So I do think that this is going to be a great chat that we're going to be having with Jason in the second segment. Then in the final segment, it's been a board that's been cut relatively in half, but I'm going to be giving you guys picks and analysis on every single game on the betting board that we currently have in a little something I like to call bank shots. I will throw this in here right now. This is going to be uploaded at midnight Pacific, so if we do wind up seeing a couple games get canceled after this uploads, I really do apologize. It's just a strange state of affairs, and with these strange state of affairs, always want to be able to answer whatever you guys have questions with. If you've got a segment idea, question, comment, what have you, you've got one of two ways to be able to fire these in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at JaronSquirty1, keep it behind the letters EM. Name does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated, and then from there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. We did not wind up getting in any today, but the good news is, every single D1 versus D1 game that was scheduled for Monday wound up getting in. That would be one. So let's take a look back at Brown versus Syracuse. Tried to find out a little bit more about these two teams and tried to find some trends.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Syracuse entered this game a bottom 50 team with regards to three-point shooting defense. They actually did a relatively solid job, but they wound up pushing this total over based on their great shooting of 13 of 21 from distance. They win and cover by a count of 93 to 62 as right around a 9.5 to a 10-point favorite, and it was Boeheim squared in this one as Jimmy and Buddy Boeheim, a combined 41 points, with Buddy Boeheim going 4 of 6 from 3, 28 points, 5 boards. Syracuse, they looked very good on the glass. They wound up winning that battle by a count of 42-35 for Brown. Just not a good day for them. A team that has actually been relatively solid in defense. They wind up committing 14 turnovers in this game, so they had a tough time taking care of the ball. Now, they did wind up getting a nice little surprise in Keno Lilly Jr. coming off the bench, gave the team 13 points, but really past that, it was not their night. And for Syracuse, a team that doesn't necessarily have a lot of depth, they were able to get some pieces in off the bench, give them a few minutes, so that is going to be good for Syracuse moving forward. So we really don't have a lot of trends, because we wound up seeing one over on Monday. We wound up seeing 100% of games go to the favorite as well, so wish I could give you a little bit more. So this is a little bit of a short and sweet segment here, so please do, if you wind up having any questions, what have you, please do send those into the Twitter timeline, because we have been getting a lot of games unfortunately canceled, and I hope I don't have to say that anymore, because believe me, I want to be able to make you guys some money here. But a man that does a great job of being able to handicap a little bit of everything, does a great job of making people money, that'd be Jason Radowitz. He's going to be joining me next. We're going to be talking about just gauging these games in which there might be some question marks when it comes to COVID-19 positive tests with regards to injuries, and then we're going to turn it forward, just take a look at the landscape of college basketball, and if anything's really standing out to them for today. So that's coming up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Gibbs-Pearson, now part of the BC Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast, and it is great to be joined by our guest, as this man does a terrific job being able to handicap a whole wide variety of sports, whether it be the NBA, NFL, college football, college basketball, MLB, when that's in season. This man covers it all over there at the Game Day MLB, Odds Checker, covers. You've also got in the full bookmaker review. List goes on and on. As we do have Jason Radowitz on the podcast, and to be able to follow him, it is easy enough at Jason_Radowitz. And Jason, first of all, happy holidays to you, and thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, happy holidays to you as well. And of course, man, college basketball has been so much fun to start the season. Of course, we're getting into conference play now, and that's always the best time of college basketball. Of course, you know, with all the COVID going around, you know, you wish that the season kind of played out a little bit better. But, you know, it's all going to kind of, you know, go away eventually. And, you know, we will have some really good college basketball games in the near future.
Yep, I agree with you. I do think that things are going to get better. I always try to be an optimistic person when it comes to these sorts of circumstances. And when it comes to handicapping, because I know that you do a little bit of everything, how have you been gauging everything that we've seen? We'll call it the last 14 days, because as we know in college basketball, a lot of games have been postponed / canceled. But in a lot of other sports, like the NBA, like the NFL, they are very, very hesitant to postpone / cancel games. So you deal with teams that they are going to be without their full complement of players. You wind up having a lot of star players being out. Has that changed anything with regards to your handicap and bet timing?
It hasn't changed much. Now, I will say, for me, I bet just one game a day for the most part. And of course, some days I haven't bet a single game in college basketball. But that's just my style, and that's just how I've seen the most success recently. I will say on the season, I'm 69.4% win percentage with just taking 35 bets on the season. So I haven't played, you know, a ton of college basketball, but when I do, what I've been doing is taking more, you know, smaller spreads, whether that's plus or minus, and then the minus usually pay up on the juice a little bit for the money lines. And of course, for underdogs, you know, I take the most points I can get at plus. So that's kind of been what I've been doing. That's worked out for me in college basketball. And yeah, there were a couple of days where I had one bet that I liked, and that bet was canceled. And so once that bet got canceled, I didn't go and chase. I just kind of waited until the next day. So that's what I've done. I know it's been, you know, really difficult for a lot of bettors, especially guys like you, when it comes to volume. But, you know, eventually things will start to calm down and we'll get a lot more college basketball in the future.
And I would argue when it comes to college basketball, you actually do have a little bit more protection when you do wind up firing on some of these games a little bit earlier as well, because I mentioned it with the NBA, the NFL. There's a good likelihood that if you wind up firing in on a game, even the night before, Saturday night for Sunday, you could wind up being in a spot in which you wind up having a star player, your quarterback, what have you, being ruled out. And in college basketball, we've noticed that typically, more often than not, when you do wind up seeing positive COVID cases, game just winds up getting postponed and canceled. So in my opinion, you actually do get a little bit more protection when it comes to college basketball, just because if there is a COVID outbreak, typically you get a refund. I'm not sure if you see it the same way as well, but I mean, in a strange way, it actually offers you a little bit of a safety blanket.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I bet my games early in the morning, Eastern time. So for me, it's around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern time where I'm placing my bet and sending it out to everyone that wants to tail with me. So, you know, I agree. I think that that's probably the best way to go about it. I've seen with my bets, for the most part, I usually end up getting good closing line value. You know, I will say that there's other times here and there where, you know, the line will go completely opposite of what I was thinking. Even in those moments, I'd still won bets like that. So when you talk about capping, I wouldn't say worry about closing line value. It obviously is good to have it, but you know, stick with your gut, stick with your entire process, and you'll be right more times than not.
I agree, as we do have Jason Radowitz, does a terrific job over there with covers and so many more other platforms joining me on the podcast. And I am glad that you wanted bringing up closing line value, because I always do think that it is important. I mean, the difference between laying 5.5 and laying 6, getting a 7 instead of a 6.5, you can just name whatever you'd like, that extra half point to a point. I always do think it's important. And at the same time, it sort of needs to be balanced as well, because I feel like in this COVID age, closing line value, no question. Like I mentioned, it's so important, but I think that sometimes paying for information is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. And by that, because typically that's a poker analogy when you do wind up thinking that you might have the worst of it with a hand, but at the same time, you pay to see what your opponent has. When you wind up doing that in more handicapping, you wait a little bit longer, you give back a little bit more closing line value. But at the same time, if you've got a borderline, like don't know whether or not a guy is going to be cleared from COVID-19 protocol or not, I do think that in some cases that can be worth it, especially if you value that player as being worth multiple points to a line like a top scorer.
Yeah, it's absolutely helpful. You know, like you said, when it comes to the news, a lot of people, I'm sure they ask you a lot as well, is this guy out or is this guy in? Especially in mid-major, it's impossible to know. That sometimes we won't even know until the game starts but that a guy is out, especially in mid-major play, because a lot of these teams don't have beat reporters at all. And if they do, they're not really allowed to be around because of COVID in the first place. You know, finding this news on mid-major teams and low-major teams is even harder than you might imagine. So you could go and you could play high major games and just go high major. But then there's that thing where a lot of people think that there's probably more value on mid majors because there's not as much of a handle there. So, I mean, you can go back and forth all day where there's more value, you know, how to find injuries and all this. But college basketball, it's so tough as it is, adding COVID on top of it with all these players, you know, not being able to play and whatnot, has really made it hard. But if you try your best to follow super fans and different, you know, beat reporters or guys who think are around, you know, the team as much as possible, that will definitely help with capping in the long run.
Yep, I am in total agreement with you there. I do think that when it comes to trying to be able to get as much injury information as possible, just going right to Twitter is probably your best bet. Just type in the player that's in question. It can even be a little bit of a team as well if you're trying to get a little bit of a roundup, because every one of these teams' reporters is on social media. You're really not going to find any like super underground place, like even RotoWire, for instance. I wind up using them for a lot of just general injury information, be a little bit of an aggregate, fantasy, college basketball as well. Those two guys, they do an absolutely terrific job. And I mean, they're out there on social media as well. So I do think that that is something that is very wise with this. And we know that a lot of teams are going through COVID-19 protocols right now. We've got over 50 teams on pause. Over 70 teams have missed games over the last 2 weeks. And when it comes to this, because I've got to think that come the start of the new year, I'm knocking on whatever in the heck my microphone is right now resting on right now. I think that it's solid wood. This is like Victorian style oak. So it's actually a really nice table. But with that said, I just think that when we do wind up getting back into things, I don't think we're going to see as much rust with these teams like we wound up seeing last year, because last year we had some teams that wound up going through 50 plus day quarantines, being off the court. And this year, when it came to the timing in which it wound up happening with a lot of these postponements and cancellations, it was when a lot of teams weren't playing a lot of games anyway, when it comes to finals week, when it comes to Christmas break. And I would argue that in terms of the timing in which all these postponements and cancellations wound up happening, probably the best time, just with regards to an on-court quality perspective and just these teams in general as well.
Yeah, you're probably right. I agree with you here. I really don't think that it's going to be that bad for these college athletes. And, you know, what we've heard mostly is this new variant hasn't really been as crazy when it comes to illnesses in comparison, especially if, you know, everyone's vaccinated on that team. So, you know, they're probably practicing, you know, like in their room, dribbling a ball, whatever. And so, yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine. They'll be active. They'll be ready to go. I know the CDC is changing some guidelines around, so that should help sports in general with getting players back earlier, you know, throughout their little COVID jail. But at the end of the day, yeah, I agree. I think players will be just fine coming back, and we won't see as much craziness when they do return.
I do agree with you, as we do have Jason Reidowitz joining me on the podcast. Does a terrific job handicapping a little bit of everything. And Jason, we've been talking a lot about postponements, cancellations, what have you. And obviously, we do have quite a few on the board for Tuesday. But is there any game that might be really standing out to you? Or is there a game maybe that we wound up getting robbed of that you were looking forward to seeing that perhaps we might be getting a little bit further down the line? Because I can tell you right now, I was going to be making my New York Post play of the day, the UConn versus Xavier game. Unfortunately, we're not going to be getting that one, so the board very much has been lessened with that regard. But is there a game or two that is really standing out to you that we might be getting?
Yeah, look, a lot of games were postponed, and along with the UConn-Xavier game, the Georgetown-Creighton game would have been fun, and of course, the Cincinnati-Houston game would have been terrific, although Houston now has, you know, their problems with Sasser out. But overall, yeah, those games are going to be missed. Of course, my guys, Hartford, they're not playing against Cornell Tuesday. There's still a couple of great games on the slate. Notre Dame-Pittsburgh, an ACC matchup, that should be fun. The spread at 3.5, so you know, that will be an exciting one with Pittsburgh being at home and Notre Dame being the favorites. That can go either way. Outside of that, there's a lot of games with heavy favorites. You know, Baylor against Northwestern State, Yuck and Zag against North Alabama, you know, Texas Tech, of course, against Alabama State. So you got all those games. It's fun to watch these powerhouse teams against smaller schools just to, you know, see how much they can beat them by. But at the end of the day, yeah, there's not too much excitement going down on the slate, but there will be some spots, you know, to bet. For me personally, I'm a guy that likes to bet smaller numbers. That's where I've seen the most success. So a game like Pittsburgh-Notre Dame might be, you know, the game I go to when trying to bet on a game. Also, Fresno State, Boise State, another really exciting game. The first game between both these teams in the Mountain West. So that should be really fun. Then there's Yale versus St. Mary's. St. Mary's is really good. 8-0 at home on the year, 11-3 on the season. I know Yale hasn't been great this year. It's just 6-7 and 1-3 on the road. But, you know, anytime that Yale plays a game, you always want to watch. You always want to pay attention because you never know when it comes to Yale. They can always knock off a team, regardless of how good they are.
Yale is always a very fascinating team. They're catching anywhere between 12.5 and 13 points as I'm seeing it right now. So I do think that that is going to be a fun one as they go out west. And Jason, you're holding it down right now out there in the eastern part of the country. And you do a great job with a wide variety of things, handicapping all forms of football. You definitely dive into all forms of basketball as well. A little bit more college than the NBA right now. But I know you cover just a little bit of everything and do a great job with it. So let the good people know they're able to follow you on social media and just everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, look, on Monday, I actually had to make an NBA play because I didn't like what I was seeing with the Brown-Syracuse game in terms of the line. So I went and I played an NBA game for the first time in a little bit. That's kind of what's going on with this COVID thing. But soon enough, college basketball will be better every single day. Won't have to worry about trying to find games. We'll get right in rhythm and it should be really fun as we get into conference play. But yeah, you can find me at Jason_Radowitz on Twitter. That's RADOWITZ. I post all my articles there, post some plays there. And, you know, so far I'm over 22% ROI in my last 65 bets. Again, I'm really a low volume guy, but still making profit, getting a big ROI and having fun doing it. That's what matters the most. So yeah, you can find me on all those articles, all those plays, all on Twitter at Jason_Radowitz. And yeah, you can even message me, DM me, tell me that you listened to me on the show, and I'll be really grateful for that.
And Jason doing an absolutely terrific job on all fronts when it comes to his handicapping, does so for a wide variety of platforms, has joined me quite a bit on both this podcast and my MLB podcast, and always does a terrific job whenever he comes on. So big thanks to Jason for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast, coming up next. Unfortunately, we did have quite a few games that wound up getting postponed / canceled for the Tuesday College Basketball Betting Board, but we still have some games out there, so we're going to try to unearth some value as I give you picks and analysis on every one of them as we hit some bank shots coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Here in Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eustace, and now part of the Beast and Family of Podcasts. And it is always great to get Jason Radowitz on the podcast. He does terrific work handicapping a little bit of everything. Guy is over there with covers, bookmaker review, the list goes on and on. He just does a wide variety of things and does them all so well. So great to be able to have him aboard today. Thank you so much to him. And now it is that time of the podcast to give you a sign total on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Tuesday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at JarenSquarty1, and especially today, I feel the need to throw this in here. There might be a couple games I preview that wind up getting postponed/canceled. That is going to be very, very unfortunate. So this board is a little bit herky-jerky because we wind up having a couple games wind up getting added, and over half the board has been postponed. So you'll notice that there's going to be a lot of times in which I just need to move on, and that's going to be starting with the first game as we are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order, because when you actually go to Las Vegas rather than saying you want to bet on, say, we're going to spitball here Boise State. Instead of saying that you want the Boise State spread, you'd give their rotation number of 616, which is why I do it in this order. But 601, 602 was supposed to be James Madison versus Penn. This game has been canceled. If this sounds like an insert, it's because I wound up doing half my preview of 603, 604 Sacramento State versus Oregon State. And as I was doing the preview, this game wound up getting canceled. 605, 606 Eastern Michigan versus Ohio, postponed. 607, 608 UConn was supposed to be my New York Post play of the day, postponed. 609, 610 on the betting board, Ball State, Northern Illinois, postponed. First game on the betting board that I'm seeing that is currently not postponed and or canceled is 6-11, 6-12 on the betting board. You've got Notre Dame, and they're going to be playing against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is finding themselves anywhere between a 3.5 and a 4.0 underdog. In your tallest game, you're finding it anywhere between a 127 and a 128. And this is the spot in which I'm going to be taking a look at Pittsburgh. I wound up saying them more on a 3.5 point underdog. So here at 4, I'm willing to take the points that win this actually opened up at 6. So that was some relatively solid value. But I take a look at this Notre Dame team, and I just don't have a lot of confidence in them being able to do enough to be able to get the job done in the spot, because it is a Notre Dame team that they play relatively slow, but in terms of defensive efficiency, points allowed on a per possession basis, they've been one of the worst power programs out there in all of college basketball the last two seasons. You take a look at this Notre Dame team, and you've been able to get some good production out of Paul Atkinson Jr., right around 12 points, 6.5 rebounds. Overall, this is a team that they shoot 35% from three, 76% at the free throw line, just a team that they really don't guard the three-point arc. And when it comes to Pittsburgh, I think that they're going to be able to do a good job down low. John Hughley has really been a good spot for this team, and a team that has been all sorts of banged up with guys like Nike Sabandi and company hopefully being able to give this team something, but I've been unable to. He's been able to chip in their 14.5 points, 8.5 rebounds for a team that ranks in the bottom 75 with regards to possessions per game. And even though they rank that low with regards to their tempo, they still commit 14 turnovers per game. They shoot 65.7% of the free throw line, 29% from three. But what I do like is the fact that Femi Olakala has been able to do a solid job of being able to make some three-point shots, shooting right around 37% from distance, completely took over the team's last game against Jacksonville. And this is a team that's a little bit on the up and up. With Pittsburgh, they've won three out of their last four games, and their other two losses was a four-point loss against Monmouth and a one-point loss against Pittsburgh. So they haven't been as cataclysmically bad as they were at the beginning of the season. Then you take a look at Notre Dame, and
It's just a team that I have a tough time hitching my wagon to at this point. I mean, Nate Lazowski still giving the team right around 8 points on about 38% three-point shooting with 7.5 boards per game, but he's seen a little bit of dip in production from last year. Prentice Hub, last year, this guy was giving the team 14.5 points, a little bit under 6 assists per game. That's down to 7 points, 3 assists, because we have seen a little bit more out of some of the ancillary pieces of this team. Blake Wesley has really been able to step up, shooting 34.5% from three-point range. He's given the team approximately 14 or 15 points in each out of the last four games, but I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a slower, grimier game. When it comes to defense, Pittsburgh has really been able to step up with that. I recognize it was a shorthanded St. John's team, but they allowed just 57 points in that game, so this has been a team that has been able to do a good job of holding up with this respect. 68 points or fewer given up in each of their last five games. They do a good job of being able to slow the game down, so set Notre Dame as a 3.5 point favorite, so I'm willing to take a 4 here with Pittsburgh. When it comes to salt, made it 123.5 because of that slow tempo, so we're going to be diving under, and I'm going to be taking the points with Pittsburgh. 613, 614, Cincinnati Houston has been postponed. So we go to 615, 616 on the betting board. Fresno State is going to be taking on Boise State. Boise State is anywhere between a 3.5 and a 4 point favorite in your total. It is the lowest on the betting board, anywhere between 117.5, seeing as high as a 119.5. And I think that we went a little bit too low here. Boise State has been able to find a little bit more scoring recently, so I did wind up setting this total at a 123.5. And this is another one of these games in which it's a tight line, and I'm going to be leaning towards the points because I did wind up setting Boise State as a 1.5 point favorite. When it comes to Boise State, they have just not been good at being able to put the ball in the basket in general. This is a team that has a collective. They shoot 60.5% at the free throw line. They are shooting now about 33% from three-point range. We've seen a little bit of a rebound with that, and the big reason why, Tyson DeGenhart. That is actually his name. DeGen and then Hart. He has been averaging right around 9 points per game, but he has really come on late. This is a guy that's saying 6'7", true freshman, shooting 42.5% from three-point range. You just take a look at it, and he has put up double figures in each out of the team's last seven games, so ever since he has been getting minutes, he has been able to do a great job with them. Now, you do have Emmanuel Aikot as well, someone who has been able to do a nice job, be able to pump in there right around 11 points per game. He's able to give the team a little bit over 3 assists. Abu Kiyama has been able to chip in their 15 points per game as well, but shoot 61% the free throw line as well. And I do think that the most unstoppable force out there on the court is going to be Orlando Robinson, a 7-footer that's putting up 18.5 points, 8 boards, 2.5 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.7 blocks, and shoots 32.5% from 3-point range. Overall, Fresno State only shooting about 31% from 3, but also 74.5% the free throw line. Now, the big mystery with this team is Jabril Baker, because he wound up playing a couple games earlier in December. He wound up being out of the fold when the team wound up taking out Weber State, but even without him, they were able to bludge in Weber State. I think that he's probably going to be out of the fold once again. So you're going to be seeing a lot of Deion Stroud, Isaiah Hill, Jordan Campbell, all guys giving you between 7 and 8.5 points per game. When it comes to one of their other guards, Anthony Holland, he is shooting 44% from 3-point range. This is a Fresno State team that they overall do a solid job on the glass. I do think that in the end, Boise State might have a little bit more, especially with this being a true home game for them, to be able to get it done. But I'm very willing to take a 3.5 to a 4 here, with Fresno State actually seeing a stray 4.5 out there as well. So I'm going to be taking the points when it comes to this Fresno State team. When it comes to the total, I do think that we wind up getting a little bit of late game following. Boise State has been kicking up their tempo just a tad recently. So also set the total at 123.5. So going over, and I'm going to be taking the points. 617, 618, Georgetown versus Creighton, postponed. 619, 620, UC Riverside taking on UC Davis. That has been postponed. Now we go to my New York Post play of the day. Let's pray that this one doesn't get washed out. 621, 622, and this is the last game on the normal Las Vegas betting board before we hit the extra games. St. Mary's is going to be playing OC Yale. Bulldogs, anywhere between 12.5 and 13 point underdogs in your total last game, and between 131 and 132, and I wound up setting this total at 128.5 and made St. Mary's an 8.5 point favorite. When it comes to the St. Mary's team, they're an okay 3-point shooting team. They're not necessarily great. They're not necessarily terrible. Obviously, a team that they do a relatively solid job of being able to ratchet up on defense, but this is also a St. Mary's team that they don't necessarily take great care of the ball. They're right around 175th in the country when it comes to turnovers on a per possession basis, and Azir Swain has really stood out to me. Over the last 10 games for this team, averaging 20.8 points per game while making right around 88% of his free throws. Only about a 32-ish percent three-point shooter, but overall has been very solid for this team. This is a Yale team that they don't necessarily force a lot of steals, but I do think that they're going to be able to do a little bit of a better job down low. They have been transitioning a little bit to not having out there one of their main rebounders in EJ Jarvis, but what else I think is going to be big is being able to have the versatility of 6'5" Jalen Gabadin. He has been able to give the team 10.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, shooting 36% from three-point range, so he's been able to do a relatively solid job there. And then you take a look at the flip side for St. Mary's, and you do have a lot of guys that they just know their role very well. Someone like a Kyle Bowen, who's only giving you 5 points per game, but he's been able to chip in there 6.5 rebounds per game. You've got Matthias Taz, who just does it all for the team, 13 points, 5.5 rebounds, only shoots about 22% from three-point range, but that's why you've got Dan Fotu shooting 42% from three-point range, and Tommy Cousy shooting 48.5% from distance, with Cousy and Fotu both give you between 10 and 10.5 points and right around 4 boards per game apiece. Cousy, along with that, right around 3.5 assists per game. So these guys have been relatively solid. This is a St. Mary's team that they are really going to be looking to play a little bit slower. Yale's a team that they're looking to push the tempo a little bit more. They're in the top 100 with that regard. Yale has been falling on a couple tough times, but I think that this is a good spot for them. I think that they're going to do a effective job of being able to attack this defense. So as a result, I did wind up making this total 120.5, as I do think that St. Mary's is going to be able to get their tempo, but I think that Yale's going to be able to hit enough threes to be able to hold in this game. So made the New York Post play of the day, Yale getting the point. So I'm going to be taking them. Set this total at 128.5 as well. So taking the under along with Yale. Unfortunately, that's it for the normal Las Vegas betting board. So now we hit the extra games.
The normal betting board picks are complete, but there are some extra games today, so we go into the bonus.
Going in Las Vegas rotation order with these as well. This begins with 306-001, 306-002. You've got Alabama State, and they're going to be hitting the road to face off against Texas Tech. The Red Raiders are finding themselves a 29.5 point favorite, and your total on this game, you're getting it at a 135.5. I set Texas Tech as a 27 point favorite. This is an Alabama State team that has actually been halfway respectable. Gerald Liddell is a former top 100 recruit that actually began his career at Texas, so you got to think that he's going to be up for this game. A guy that's able to give you 11 points, shooting 43.5% from 3-point range as a 6'6" combo player. Now, Trace Young being out for a little bit of time wound up hurting this Alabama State team, but he did wind up returning in the team's most recent game against Texas. You could tell that he was out of rhythm. He had 8 turnovers, and I fully expect him to be much better in this game, as he did wind up having 7 points, 6 rebounds in that game, and overall has been able to give this team 9 points per game, shoots about 85% at the free throw line. Kenny Strawbridge is able to give you right around 8.5 points per game as well. And then you take a look at Texas Tech, you've got some good versatility out there on the floor, and a team that, as a collective, shoots about 35% from 3-point range. When it comes to points allowed on a per-possession basis, this is a Texas Tech team that they rank towards the top of all of college basketball. Kevin McCullough along Darren Shannon have been a very good duo for this team, as these two guys are both giving you between 13.5 and 14.5 points per game. You've got both of these guys shooting right around 35% from 3-point range, so they have been able to do a relatively effective job in this one. Now with Shannon, he has been dealing with a little bit of an ailment. Seems like there's a chance that he does wind up playing in this one, but even if he does wind up going in a game like this against Alabama State, you've got to figure that they aren't going to be pushing him full bore, as he's missed the last two games for the team. Barco Santos Silva, as a result, he's been only giving the team right around 4 boards per game. I expect him to get a little bit more playing time here moving forward, as I do think that they are probably going to be looking to a little bit more of the post game. If you do wind up having Shannon limited, like I think that he is going to be, Kevin O'Banner has been able to give this team 9.5 points, right around 5 boards, shooting 38% from 3-point range. Bryson Williams has been able to chip in there 11.5 points, 4.5 boards. He shoots 45% from 3-point range. And then you've even got Davion Warren, who winds coming in from Hampton, a 36% 3-point shooter. I think the Texas Tech should be able to win this game and win this game relatively convincingly, but this is an Alabama State team that they do push the tempo a little bit more, but I think that Texas Tech's defensive efficiency is going to be there. But with that said, also with having Shannon off the floor, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for Texas Tech to be able to cover this number. Set the line at 27, so I'm going to be taking the points with Alabama State. Made the solo 133, so diving under as well. 306-003, 306-004. American and Siena canceled. 306-005, 306-006. Cornell and Hartford canceled. Boy, that is brutal. So we move on. 306-007, 306-008. Gonzaga is going to be playing us in North Alabama. North Alabama is finding themselves a 34-point underdog with your total on this game, 141.5. I want to make in this line 32. So I certainly think that Gonzaga is going to be able to win this game comfortably. And when it comes to my power rankings, Gonzaga, by a very, very, very slight hair, is still my number one overall team. But this is a North Alabama team that they do have a couple of redeeming qualities. Daniel Ortiz is able to give you 10.5 points per game, shoots 47% from 3-point range. He has cooled off over the last two games for this team, but prior to that, he had 12-plus points in the previous three games. You've got someone in Jabari Blackman who's able to help out in the backcourt as well, right around 9.5 points per game, shoots in the mid-30s from three-point range, so he's able to do a relatively effective job there, and has been doing a good job of not turning the ball over. He has turned the ball over just 5 times in the team's last 5 games. Meanwhile, you've got Andrew Nembhard, assist-to-turnover ratio with him is right around 2. He's been able to give the team 9 points per game, and really the sharpshooter for this team has been Rajir Bolton, shooting 43% from 3, 10.5 points, a little bit over 3 boards per game. You got Chet Holmgren, who's right now giving the team 3.7 blocks per game, shooting 37% from 3, 13.5 points per game. Drew Timmy, 17 points, 6 boards. So, I mean, these guys have been relatively effective. You've got a North Alabama team that they're going to get bludgeoned on the glass. You do have Damian Forrest, though, someone who's saying 6'10", and he's been a little bit of a designated rebounder, pulling in 6.5 rebounds per game, only giving the team 5.5 points per game. But with that as well, he's actually been able to do a nice job in terms of free throw shooting at 93%. So you have something there when it comes to North Alabama, not necessarily an up-tempo team, but I've always noticed with regards to their games, ever since they wound up coming up to the D1 level, if they do wind up getting sped up by a power program, they are willing to oblige, and they shoot right around 79% the free throw line and 36% from three. So it's not like you've got a bunch of guys that are inept when it comes to putting the ball in the basket. So I did wind up saying Gonzaga's result as a 32-point favorite, so willing to take the points. Also made this total 150. Gonzaga has been very good at always being able to get their tempo, so going to be taking the over, and I'm going to be taking the points. 306-009, 306-0010. You've got Ohio State and New Orleans canceled. That's unfortunate. 306-011, 306-012. Valparaiso and Prairie View, A&M canceled. Brutal. No money to be made, so we move on. 306-013, 306-014. You've got Baylor and Northwestern State. The Demons are catching 38 points, and your total on this game is 145. I wound up sending Baylor as a 37.5 point favorite, so we're relatively close here. Here at 38, we've just went a little bit too far. I mean, this is a case in which Baylor, if they're up by like 35 points with 3 minutes left to go, you got to figure that they're going to be calling off the dogs a little bit. And I'm going to mention it once again with this Baylor team. They shoot 66% at the free throw line. I think that that could mean a little bit of something in this game. It could be the difference between a 40-point win and more like a 37-point win. We've got a Baylor team that they shoot 35.5% from three-point range. Headlined by Kendall Brown, the freshman, along with LJ Cryer. Both of these guys combined to shoot about 47% from three-point range. You've got Brown being able to give you 13 points per game, Cryer more on 13.5 points per game, and then James Akinjo has been masterful in the backcourt. He wound up having one bad game against VCU, in which he wound up having like 6 turnovers, and past that, he has been doing a relatively good job of being able to keep a clean sheet, as he has had 3 turnovers or fewer in 4 of the last 5 games for this team, shooting 36% from 3 with 11.5 points per game to go with those 6 assists per game. Adam Flagler is able to give you 10 points per game. Matthew Meyer has been solid. And then Jonathan Chachua has been really the energizer bunny for this team down low. 9 points, 8.5 boards. And Jeremy Schoen has also been able to give you right around 6 boards per game. But then you do take a look at Northwestern State, and down low you do have Kendall Coleman, a guy that's able to give you 15 points, 8.5 boards. I think that he's certainly going to be losing that battle down low, but at the same time, he is able to give you a little bit of help. This is a team that now gets back Carvel Tissette as well, someone who's been able to give the team 9 points and nearly 4 assists per game in the 4 games they wound up playing in, wound up missing the front half of the season. But ever since he's been back, this has been a team that's been a little bit more competitive. They were able to cover against Texas A&M with him out there in the fold. Now, this is a Northwestern State team that they themselves shoot 60% the free throw line. They're not necessarily up-tempo, and they commit 15 turnovers per game. But what they also do get with T-Set as well is right around 2 steals per game, so that should be able to help this team out. And I do also like what you're getting out of Cedric Garrett, someone who is standing right around 6'5". He's able to give the team 7.5 points, right around 3.5 rebounds per game, a little bit over a steal per game, so he's been a nice mixer and shaker for this team. Baylor's going to be able to win this game convincingly, and with Baylor, they rank in the top 5 nationally when it comes to defensive efficiency, so I do think that Northwestern State is certainly going to get held down with their scoring. Set this total at 139, so I'm willing to take the under, but here at 38, we just went a little bit too far. I set my line at 37.5, so I'm going to take 38 here when it comes to Northwestern State. 306-015, 306-016. Maryland and Loyola Maryland has been canceled. You'll find that Maryland is going to be getting a replacement game here in a minute, but first we go to 306-017, 306-018. Texas is back to being a big favorite against Incarnate Word. The Word is a 31.5 point underdog, and your total on this game is 129. Among these big spreads, this is the one that I really felt good about taking. I wound up saying Texas as a 34.5 point favorite. Now, the big thing with Texas is that Marcus Carr just has not necessarily been a great fit with this team. I never thought that he was going to be, but when you take a look at the other guys, they've really been able to do a nice job for this team. Timmy Allen, who winds up coming in from Utah, 12.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Overall, Texas shooting about 34.5% from three-point range with versatile 6'9 Trey Mitchell, shooting about 38% from distance, giving the team 10.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. Each out of your top 6 scores for this Texas team are giving you at least a steal per game as well. That includes Zillin Disu. Disu is now back to the fold, 9 points, 4.5 boards per game. This guy comes in for Vanderbilt. He's standing 6'9". He's able to pop threes. This guy is absolutely amazing. You've got a Texas team that they do the little things well. They shoot 76.5% the free throw line, and they force 9.5 steals per game. This is against an Incarnate Word team that, shall we say, they're not necessarily the best at being able to take care of the ball. A little bit over 15 turnovers per game now. They shoot about 74% of the free throw line, 36% from three-point range themselves, but Texas, in regards to defensive efficiency, one of the best teams in college basketball. Now, Incarnate Word winds up getting back Josh Morgan. He's been back for two games, and in a combined 72 minutes in the team's last two games, he's had 9 total points. This is someone that averages 13 points per game, shoots 39% for the season, but I think that he probably wound up coming back a little bit too early because he has not been himself. Download this as a team that's going to get bludgeoned. You do have Johnny Hughes III, who has been able to get the same 13 points, 6.5 rebounds per game. She's right around 33% from three-point range. And then Drew Lutz has been able to give up 4 assists per game, but also the 2.5 turnovers per game. And for that matter, each out of Incarnate Word's top 4 scorers commit at least 2.1 turnovers per game, including RJ Glasper. Wise coming in for Moro Roberts has been able to give the team 13 points, 3 assists per game. But I think that Texas is just going to take Incarnate Word completely out of their game. I think that Texas is going to be able to get a bunch of turnovers. I think that this is going to get a little bit ugly, and I think that Texas is going to be able to do a lot of work on the overall by themselves. Set this total at 132, so I'm looking at the over. Set Texas as a 34.5 point favorite, so willing to lay the points. And we've got two added games to the added games board, as we've got 306-0-19, 306-0-20. Maryland is going to be playing us a Lehigh. Mount Knox find themselves a 21.5 point underdog with your total on this game, 138. I'm really curious to see what Danny Manning has planned for the Maryland team the rest of the season, because while Manning was at Wake Forest, he obviously kicked up the tempo quite a bit while he was there. Meanwhile, Maryland, they've always been a bottom 100 team with regards to tempo whenever Mark Turgeon was there. So I do think that you're going to see a little bit of mixing and matching here. I want him saying the total personally at 134. I think that this is a Maryland team that in general, moving forward under Danny Manning, they might be just a little bit disjointed. You've got a team of really not good three-point shooters. Fats Russell is right now shooting 34.5% from three, but I think that that'll regress. He's had a solid year. 13 points, 4 boards, 3.5 assists. A guy that typically gives you more than the 1 steal per game is currently registering. You've got a Maryland team that they do shoot 74% of the free throw line, but like I said, only about 31% from three despite their slow tempo. 13 turnovers per game as well. Then you take a look at Lehigh. Certainly a team with deficiencies. They've only got one win, but they did wind up taking Rutgers to overtime on the road. Now, that is Rutgers, but you do have a pair of guys in the Wilsons, in Marquise Wilson and Jamero Wilson, who have been able to do a solid job. They're combining for about 21.5 points per game now. Marquise Wilson most likely going to be out of the fold once again for this team. He wound up missing pretty much all the team's games in December aside from the first one, so I'm thinking that he's going to be out once again for this one. But Jamero Wilson shoots 35% from three-point range. Overall, Lehigh, they shoot about 71% at the free-throw line, what I think is going to be very key as well. Dominic Perlin, down low, he's been able to get the team right around 7 rebounds per game, is able to give you about 7 points per game. Now, Kudaswa has been able to give this Maryland team a little bit over a block and a half per game. He's averaging 10 plus points, right around 7 to 8 rebounds per game, so he's able to do a rock solid job. But I do look to Nick Lynch having a little bit of a bigger role for this team moving forward. Last year, averaged 12 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. Thus far this year, it's only been more like 5.5 points, 2.5 rebounds per game. He was really seeing his minutes limited towards the beginning part of the season, but he's been able to pick up a little bit of steam recently. He's been able to give the team 10 plus points in 2 out of the last 4 games, so I do think that he's going to be able to deliver a little bit of something, a guy that's actually able to have a little bit of range as well. So I take a look at this Lehigh team. I think that they're being a little bit unjustly, I guess you'd call it, dogged in this game. I wound up saying them as a 14.5 point underdog, so I'm willing to take the points. I do think that Maryland being in a strange transition, it's going to cause them to be a little bit less than effective on offense. So this is a game which I'm going to be taking a look at the under, and I'm going to be taking a look at the points. And we wrap things up with 306-0-21, 306-0-22. You got Southern Illinois, and they're going to be playing us to Grambling. Grambling, a 16-point underdog, and your total on this game is 127. I want to make in this line 15. With Grambling, it certainly has been a far from great team, but you do have some good three-point shooters, and you do have a Southern Illinois team that is in the bottom five with regards to possessions per game, so that means that they've got to be very, very on point to be able to cover this sort of a number. Now, you do have Marcus Domask, who's done a nice job of stuffing the stat sheet as a 6'6" combo player, right around 14.5 points, 5.5 boards, 4.5 assists, a steal per game, shooting about 34.5% from three-point range. Overall, this is a Southern Illinois team that they shoot 35% from three. They do turn the ball over 12 times per game. When you're in the bottom five with regards to possessions per game, that's actually not too great. They shoot 67.5% of the free throw line. You don't have a single guy giving you more than the 4.5 boards per game that Domas provides. Now, Lance Jones is able to give the team 15 points, 4 boards, 2 steals per game. He also shoots right around 65% of the free throw line, 26.5% from three. Now, Grambling, they've got their deficiencies as well. Nearly 17 turnovers per games. They're creating about as many turnovers as Sarah Lee's bakery right now. But with that said, Dana Kingsby along Cam Christian, their top two scorers, both of these guys shoot at least 40% from three-point range now. Christian has been dealing with some ailments throughout the season, but he was able to return for that TCU game, played 30 minutes in that one, so he should be good to go in this one. A.J. Taylor has been able to give you 9.5 points, 6.5 boards per game, shooting 85% at the free throw line. Overall, Grambling, they shoot much like Southern Illinois at the free throw line, about 67.3%, a little bit over 33% from three-point range. I do think that Prince Moss is going to be able to step up a little bit. He's only been able to give the team right around 6.5 points per game last year, gave the team 9.5 points per game, and shot 46% from three this year, more like 23% from distance. So I expect him to be able to step up a little bit in this spot. I do think that Southern Illinois is going to get their tempo of very, very slow. They do an okay job of being able to force some turnovers and Grambling. Well, they turn the ball over a ton, so I think that this is going to be a sloppy, ugly game. Set this total at 125, so I'm taking a look at the under and want to make Southern Illinois a 15-point favorite, so we'll take the 16 here with Grambling, and that'll wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of Coast to Coast Soups, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Jason Radowitz for joining me in the second segment. If you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, got one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at JRNSquirty1. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter, size per usual. Please send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season, which means I'll be coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.